From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host of the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildmichigan. And I want to thank our sponsors, Lucky Buck Mineral. Time now, man. Get your Lucky Buck spots freshened up. Get your get them out by your stands. Make sure they're in a 100-square-foot area and no more than 2 gallons at a time. And fortunately, when you look for Lucky Buck at your retailer, you will find it in a 20-pound container, which just happens to fit 2 gallons. And you could repurpose those later. If you're planning on baiting later on in the year, you can use your Lucky Buck bucket as it holds 2 gallons. Also want to welcome a new sponsor. We've been talking about this on Facebook, kind of alluding to a new member of the family. Very happy to say that this is a Michigan company that we will now be working with. I would like to welcome Strother Archery and my friend Nathan Benavides.
How are you doing,
Nate? Man, welcome, dude.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. You know, this is we've been teasing this. You know, and again, this is more for our benefit, which is kind of, I hate to say it that way, but you coming on as a sponsor. Look, we have product that we can promote and use, but the fact and it benefits you too, I hope, because you are a Michigan company, Strother Archery. You've been around for how long?
5 years now.
Okay, you're in your fifth year, which is good. Look, Michigan archery industry is huge, and many people don't know. Lake City is Boning Archery. We have Darton Archery. We have Strother. We have Oneida. There are so many great companies that come out of this state. I've watched Strother for a while. We were involved with another archery company for about 7.5 years. This being actually our 8th year exactly this weekend. September 30th was our very first day. 8 years ago, our very first guest was Ted Nugent. That could go either way. You know, I love Ted, and he'll be back on the show here pretty soon because he's back in Michigan hunting. But look, we love him. We love the support he gives outdoors men and women, and I really appreciate the support from Strother. Tell us a little bit about the company. How did it all get started for you guys?
You know, we're a small company. It started, I guess, 2010. They were just looking for something else to manufacture. What else can we do with our designers that we have in house? A lot of the guys around there obviously has been in the hunting industry or have been hunting since they were, you know, young kids. So, sure. We have some pretty talented designers, and they kind of put their heads together, and this is what we came up with, and this is what we have evolved to, from now until then.
Now, what is your primary basis for manufacturing? Because it wasn't archery equipment.
No, absolutely not. It's an automated or IAD, industrial automated design. They're actually basically custom one-off automated machinery for any company, for GM, anything, Chrysler.
So you're manufacturing things for these companies, and since you have the equipment, you have the ability to design and engineer with these machines now, man. It's just, you push a button, you put the material in, and you're getting product.
Correct.
The design has to come from someplace. You know, where is this design coming from? Because you can't, look, there are properties involved that are way above my pay grade, and you can't just throw a bow together. I mean, there's a lot of mechanics and engineering going into this.
Well, yeah, there's a lot that happens from the time you're at your anchor point to you pull that trigger. I mean, everything has to be perfect. And that's one thing we've really kind of based our bow about is tight tolerances and custom one-off stuff. Cause really that's what every bow is. It's custom.
And we're looking at them. I'm looking at it's hard to take my eyes off you folks. I apologize, because if I get distracted is because I'm looking at the new bow. It is a Rath SHO, very short ATA. I've learned over the years of the bows that I have shot that, although it's a bit more difficult for some people to handle the shorter bows, for whatever reason, my physical stature, the fact that I have T-Rex arms, I don't know what it is, but a shorter bow fits me better. So tell me about some of the mechanics behind the Wrath SHO.
Well, axle-to-axle, you mentioned it's shorter. It's only 30 and 3/16 axle-to-axle, so it's our shortest bow we offer. However, it does have a 7 3/8 brace, so that's a generous brace for a bow of that size. Very forgiving. The higher brace height you have in a bow,
sure,
the more forgiving the bow will be downrange. So it's 80% let off, 335 IBO.
And IBO for people who swear by it, let's be real. IBO is 70 pounds max with the lightest grain arrow at like 30 plus inch, whatever the draw length is.
It's 70
freakish.
Pounds, 30 inch draw.
Okay.
You're shooting an arrow that's 350, so it's right up 5 grains an inch.
Yeah, you're not.
Draw length. It's
not hunting.
That's not your hunting equipment, no.
But you did send me a picture from the chronograph.
I did.
Of this bow.
I did.
It said 310.
It was 310, yep. We're shooting 310. I mean, obviously, we're shooting, it's a spec arrow. You know, at 60
sure.
pounds for you. So, yeah, I mean.
Did you just call me a sissy?
No, I mean, I didn't say that. I mean, that's what I meant to say, but I didn't say it out loud. I was thinking it.
Well,
And
this is what's funny about working with Nate Benavides from Strother Archery. I mean, look, you either hit it off with somebody right away or you don't. I mean, or you build up that level. But that was the first thing when we started talking with each other. You know, I pulled up, my girlfriend let me use her vehicle. I pulled up and, you know, there's a Spartan license plate on it. You know, look, don't think I don't hang my head in shame. Radios are clicking because Spartan fans are mad at me. But look, you're a big U of M guy.
I was afraid to drive U of M today.
Well, listen, I know how to roll in this town. You know, I drive a red truck. You can think I'm a Buckeye for Pete's sake, which we like you Ohio people too. You know, just listen to the show. It's not a hate thing. But you know, I mean, look, you know instantly whether you can kid with somebody or you can't. And to me, that's very important in business, is that you have that kind of working relationship from the beginning and not so much build up to it. To me, it's very important, the fact that you guys are a Michigan company. You're based in Imlay City. We were there just recently for the Woods and Water Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going on for years and years there with Woods and Water News. I ask you about a tag that you have, which in very big, big, bold letters and a picture is a Made in Michigan tag. I said, is this something just for the Michigan crowd or is this going elsewhere? And you said, it's going everywhere.
Oh yeah. No matter where that bow's going. I mean, we have international dealers too, and that thing goes on there too. So, you know, whether it goes to Oregon or Maine,
sure.
I mean, it still basically says it's made in the U.S.
And it does. You don't have to define. You don't have to have an American flag on there, mm-hmm. which they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to. You know, Michigan is ours, but mm-hmm. it's a little extra pride that goes into it. And it was basically made for Wild Michigan, as you guys had set this up. Now, we've got about a minute and a half left in the segment, so some of the other technical stuff I'm going to leave out of this segment. I'm going to do a quick news story, and we'll talk more about the coding on this and talk about some of the other lines of bows. So Nate Benavides is joining us here. Nathan Benavides, let me just be proper.
Either way.
And I'm going to thank you. I'm going to put you on the spot also and thank you for your service to this great country as a United States Marine.
Yes.
So the humility.
Yes.
He's so
no, come on. Come on. Semper Fi. Come on.
Right on. Exactly. bills in the Michigan legislature would prohibit the use of a drone hunt animals, something we talked about on another show that I did here this week. The legislation was approved unanimously. Untouched Wednesday, as the Senate also would ban the use of unmanned aerial vehicles to interfere with and harass hunters. So you can't use a drone to hunt with. Okay, that's fine. But anti-hunters will be held just as accountable in harassing hunters. So keep that in mind. No drones. And if I see a drone and I'm in my tree stand or on the ground blind, you will be considered as violating my airspace and you will be taken out. Okay, there it is. WildMichiganRadio.com. Pick up the podcast that I just uploaded in mass. Find us on Facebook. Send us your pictures. It is that magical time of year here in Michigan. Hunting, fishing is at its pinnacle. Please send them to us. WildMichiganRadio.com. Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host of the Michigan Talk Network, joined by Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery, Imlay City, Michigan, new sponsors of the show. And again, as we alluded to this on Facebook, we know this does us a lot of good. But the thing is, too, hopefully it'll bring awareness to Strother that they're a Michigan company that have great Michigan products. I want to talk about the coating on this, the Cerakote that you have on this bow. This is not a dip. You guys have on this bow. This is, and what is that color? Because I wish I could really describe how I want to say it, but FCC prohibits me from saying it. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, it's a Cerakote. It's the actual color is called tungsten. I don't even know how to describe.
It's like a smoky color. Dark gray.
I mean, if the bow is going to look good, that bow is going to look good.
Right.
Super durable. It's really a little more popular. See it a lot on the like AR-15s, mm-hmm. kind of automatic weapons. But you know, we introduced it last year, offering it on a riser. Super, super durable. We've put that thing through the tests, and you know, it's passed every one of them.
When we you know, there are dips, you know, liquid graphics that you can do. I've shot these bows enough that it does wear. Mm-hmm. You will have some wear on these things. And look, it's not going to affect the performance of the bow. It's not going to affect you being seen unless it's some like, you know, blazing blank spot of aluminum. But this, I mean, there's durability, waterproof. I mean, there's a lot involved.
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, that, you know, what I like about that is it's a thinner coating, but yet obviously really durable, like we said earlier. But it really shows off the architecture on that riser. You know, our designers and machinists put the extra time in there to machine out different cutouts, the different bevels, the, you know, different markings on there. And it really shows off.
Aesthetics, look, I don't care who you are. If you're a bow hunter, aesthetics mean a ton. Nobody's going to shoot an ugly bow.
No. I mean, I grew up, and one of my good buddies, his dad was a really good friend of ours, obviously. And, you know, he says, you got to look good to play good.
Right. And if it looks good on the plate, it automatically tastes good. I don't care what it is. If it looks good, it's going to taste good. Speaking with Nate Benavides from Strother Archery, our new sponsor here, how many bows do you have in your lineup? It you don't have so many that you can't pick.
No. We have seven now. Mm-hmm. You know, next year that's going to change a little bit. We're going to drop a few and add a few, but we have seven that we offer now.
Seven, and of course, you offer everything from the short ATA like this to target bows.
Mm-hmm. To a target bow, yep. Our longest one right now is 37 and a half, so that's pretty long.
It is. Do you get a lot of finger shooters, guys that shoot without releases?
They'll shoot that. That one's the Moxie. Mm-hmm. I do see a few of those, but it's not that many.
No, I mean that's a specialty thing. A lot of guys I know that shoot target will shoot, you know, their standard bow, their regular hunting bow year round. So, you know, I'm looking at your website for the record, strutherarchery.com, and I'm looking at some of the products you have. Vital is a pretty popular bow. And these are split limb bows too. This is something that I'm not quite used to. I've always had a solid limb bow, but there's reasons for split because there's a balance. You know, sometimes you'll get a little bit of a lean out of things, and you can have one limb to offset one that's a little bit stiffer than the other to offset that lean.
Mm-hmm.
So are you guys doing the same thing then?
No, actually, I mean, every one of ours, the deflection is same on all four of those limbs. So, you know, where we offset that is in, you know, cables, you know, getting it tuned exactly perfect.
I wish I had more to say. Again, this is a visual thing, dude. I am speechless.
You're usually not.
Stop it. In-studio guests, you can't rein them in. You can't hold a button down to keep them out of here. Talk about the Rush XT.
Yeah, it's kind of our, it's the speed demon of our lineup. It's 342 IBO. So it's a little bit faster, a little bit longer axle. I think it's right around 33 and a half, 33 and 5/8. So, That's not the Rush XT you have right there.
What I know, I'm looking at the vitals still. Don't look at the screen, Nathan. Don't look at the screen.
Let's talk about the XT. Bring that hope up.
Right. You do have. Let's talk about the hope because I'm going to sidetrack him right now. You have a bow that look. Women have been left out of this business for a long time. They're finally getting brought into the fold with apparel that fits them. My girlfriend's biggest complaint is I can't wear this stuff because it fits like a guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not built like that, and they're not. And bows are the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can't give a young lady a 55 to 70 pound. I'm not saying that there's some that can't handle it. Okay. Don't be putting me in that level.
No, you're shooting 60. So.
Oh, dang. See, I ask for this, but you have a hope. 34 ATA and it'll draw weight 40 pounds, which is a great mm-hmm. entry level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, that can be that, you know, that's maxed out too. That's maxed out with 40 pound limbs on it, you know, so that can be turned down three full revolutions is about 2.5 to 3 pounds per. So you can get that down about 33, 32 pounds. And that's pretty good. If you can get it down that far. And it goes down to 24 inches too. So.
And I've got a friend whose wife shoots 35 pounds and she kills things. She kills big deer. Mm-hmm. So again, it's about placement. It's about how close you can get your shot. And with vertical bow hunting, longbow, compound, recurve. It's all about you, about the decisions you make, your anchor points, your just everything is based on you. It's not like a firearm, which it is based on you, but the impact is a little different. Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit more about this. I hate to say the colors are pretty, but they're still functional. You have the Muddy Girl camo that. It's got some pink in it, but it's still camo, yeah, so it's still a bit of a breakup.
Not too overpowering, so.
No, and how popular has that been?
Very popular. That we still sell a lot. I mean, this bow was unveiled in 2012, so, but I mean, everyone, we still sell a pile of these, especially now, that Muddy Girl pattern.
Yeah, the Muddy Girl's a pretty popular one. And the Realtree AP Black, that screams cool because you can use it in the blind and use it in the tree. Still has some camo, but it's got a lot of dark shadow to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very nice.
Love it. So what's coming up for 2015?
Well, I could tell you, but...
come on. Nothing?
No, we're definitely knee deep in product, not really production, but more of the product development right now. Our designer's got, he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, I think, for this year. So, I'm anxious. I love new stuff. So
I do too, as you can tell, it's kept me kind of speechless here on the show. Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery, our new sponsor here on Wild Michigan. We are looking at 2015 and as I was trying to explain to my girlfriend about how the manufacturing process works right now, this is the retailer's time of year. Mm-hmm. This, you guys are filling orders for, you know, for mods and stuff like that, the small stuff. Mm-hmm. Production for 2015, when does that start?
We'll be really into it right after ATA, right in January.
All right, January, look busy for the new stuff. You can find a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, taking you to our new sponsor, Strother Archery. Nathan Benavides, appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks a lot, appreciate it.
Thanks for the cool toys.
Enjoy.
I'm going to love it. More pictures going to follow up on the Facebook page and wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host. In the studios of the Michigan Talk Network, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find links to our great sponsors like Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also our newest sponsor, newest member of the Wild Michigan family, welcoming Strother Archery. Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery joining us in studio. Going to talk to the deer professor, Doug Roberts, right now. And it was funny, Doug, Nate and I were talking off air about, you know, who's coming on the show. He says, Doug Roberts, oh, he's on quite a bit. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but there's so much information. It's never the same conversation twice. And as we approach October 1st, as our good friend, our mutual friend, Tom Nelson says, the surprise party for the deer. They are in bachelor groups, and this is going to be literally a surprise party on the on Wednesday, October 1st.
Yep, it is. They, they've shut out now, and they're starting to kind of gear themselves up, but they're still pretty much all together. And you've got October 1st and maybe October 2nd to catch them off guard and really in that relaxing lull, and then they're going to be know something up, and the rest of the season will be a little more difficult.
It will be. We're going to start the season. We've maintained. Let's talk about what we've done in a hypothetical sense, because not everybody's done this. But we've maintained our areas. We've stayed out as much as can. Minimal invasiveness when we go to our cameras, our tree stands. We've cut all the lanes. Everything's pretty much done by this time. Again, speaking hypothetically, in a perfect world, but. Despite what we do for scents to keep our scent eliminated, be it with scent lock or whatever the case, there's still going to be some new smells out there causing a little bit of that trigger in them.
Yep. Yeah, it is. There's nothing you can do that's 100% scent free. But if you minimize it, you definitely want to do that. You definitely want to play the wind as much as you can. It's one of those things that. If there's two ways of looking at a strand, is you can either stay out and, keep that area for them, and when you do go in, it really kind of does become a surprise, or you can actually train the deer to get used to that smell over the summer to where it's not a big deal. And most people don't realize you can train deer to actually get used to human odor in there at certain times. And what you want to do is you really want to do it... we all smell the same. I mean, you smell your own way, I smell my own way. And deer actually get used to your smell in your hunting area where it's not as alarming, and it actually can lengthen that time of hunting in the season where they stay more relaxed.
Speaking with Doug Roberts from Conquest Scents here, also the TV show Conquest 200. Doug, and I've made this analogy a lot of times here on the show, treating the woods where you hunt as their living room. Look, when we go to everybody's house smells differently. And like you said, if the scent is the same, if you're not moving the furniture too much, they're not going to notice.
Correct. If you don't move the furniture a lot, they're not going to notice. The little changes actually are a curiosity to them rather than a threat to them. But also, even you going in, if you do it consistently and calmly, you can train deer to get used to you being there, which makes hunting, when season comes, much, much easier.
Doug Roberts is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Doug, a lot of us have to hunt public land. Some of us are going to go out with a crossbow because we have that ability now in Michigan. We're going to try and remain concealed. We may take a pop-up blind out there, something's a moving piece of equipment. How much is this going to distract the deer with something new structurally in the woods?
When you're talking public land, it's probably going to be more detrimental to those deer, or more alerting to those deer, I should say, than on private land. Because on public land, you never know who's walking through, what they're doing. And so those deer do become more alert to changes within their environment. But again, if you can take a pop-up blind, set it outside where it can kind of get freshened out and get all the smells out of it, and then, again, put a good scent on there that is attracting to them or, calming to them, such as Evercalm, it helps calm them deer down where they go through. I would definitely brush it in more on a public piece of property than I would a private piece of property.
And although you have that symbiotic relationship between deer and turkey, they kind of work hand in hand. I've seen it firsthand in the field. I've got a doe out in front of me for an hour and a half. All of a sudden, head pops up. Something's going on. Well, it's a bunch of turkeys coming in. They don't act the same way. You could put a pop-up blind in a field with a turkey. I mean, be in the middle of a hay field. Be standing out like a sore thumb. They don't care. Deer, different story.
Yeah, the alertness of a deer, that flight response of a deer is much, much greater than what it is with a turkey. I mean, a turkey simply goes on hearing and sight. Thank heavens they can't smell because we'd never kill them. Where a deer uses all three of those, and a deer just has that flight response that triggers much, much quicker than really any other animal.
Now, turkeys have that ability to jump up and fly off short distances at a high rate of speed. Deer have to stay on the ground, and I can see where that would come in.
Yeah, and deer are sprinters. They're not long-distance runners, so their ability to go 100, 150 yards at a very fast pace is great, but that's about the limit that they have, and they literally tire out. They're sprinters. They're not long-distance runners, and so they have to use that to their advantage, and they've learned to do it very, very, very well.
It's early season. We start October 1st here, so folks getting to this show, maybe on podcast through wildmichiganradio.com or listening to it on the Michigan Talk Network, we know the general signs of a deer being alert: ground stomping, snorting, tail. Are there going to be some other things that we can, some subtle body movements that we can see that may trigger a warning sign to them?
Yeah, you know, you got your head bobbing. A lot of deer will do that, where they'll put their head down and snap it up very, very quick. That is a sign, telltale sign. They don't have a clue that anything's there, but something in their senses tells them something's not right. When they go to stomping and blowing, they've identified an area that has a problem. So those two things are completely different. The head bobbing deal is I'm trying to get something to move to see where I can get that area located and locked down. Then I can go to the next level, or they simply leave.
Doug Roberts is our guest. Conquest Sense is his company. Conquest 200 is the television show. Real quickly, we got a couple minutes left in the segment, Doug. I ask you off air, but I'm going to ask you on air about the TV show. You see these reality TV shows, which I guess yours could be qualified as that. How many camera guys do you have around you at any given time?
Normally one. And it's funny, we don't have a camera crew. We actually film ourselves. My wife, myself, Michael, which is a worker for us. Depending on who's doing the work, the person that's not doing it grabs the camera and simply films what we're doing on the farm as it happens, because, you know, it can happen at daylight, it can happen just before dark, or any time during the day when something's going on. So we all chip in and do our own filming for the most part. People are amazed that that's how it's done, but we can't afford to really have a camera crew here on a daily basis. Most days are good days, and it's just routine.
Definitely. Our good friend Doug Roberts joins us. Conquest Sense. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find him in our experts page. We call him the Deer Professor. Doug, we're going to do another segment with you here in a couple of minutes. So please, for you listening, please stand by. And if you're podcasting, well, you know, it's a click. It's pretty simple. And yes, I've uploaded. I've been lax. I apologize. Long story short, it's probably been the most difficult year of record for me on a personal level. But you have spoken. You want the show. We'll stick around. We'll come back with Doug Roberts. Nate Benavides from Strother Archery, our new sponsor, sitting quietly in the wings, waiting to pounce like a cheetah with the paws out on Wild Michigan.
Hi, I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery joining us in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Find the podcast, find our Facebook page, and find out what we're up to. We're getting so close, man. October 1st, Michigan's bow opener is coming, and I have a new bow. I'm excited about the Wrath SHO that I'll be shooting this year, and I'll put pictures up on the Facebook page and on Wild Michigan. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous bow, and I've shot them. They shoot very, very well. Now, if I can get myself connected, all will be good. But we're talking with Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. Doug, it's early season. Wednesday, our opener happens. Yep. And it's pretty amazing that we have such a cool season. Now, let's talk about temperatures. Past week, we have had 70s, upper 70s. A lot of guys are not going to go out hunting on this day. Is the warm weather really going to be that much of an issue? Are they going to stay bedded down till the cooler portions of the night? Or is early morning going to be a good spot to go out?
Early morning is going to be a good spot. We've been getting cool at night, so they're definitely going to move. And again, remember that they're still in that comfort time, you know, where they've been relaxed and they're moving in the bachelor groups. I know if we watch the deer on the farm, they're still moving in the morning at daybreak. Then again, middle of the day, they'll move a little bit. And then just before dark, again, they'll get out and feed. So it's going to be a great day, even if it gets warm. I mean, it's more uncomfortable for hunters. Remember, you go down the south and they're hunting in 190 to 100 degree temperature. Those deer have to still move. So it's not going to shut the deer down at all, being in the 75 degrees. It's just going to be uncomfortable for us.
Let's talk about vocalization a little bit in this early season. A lot of people don't like to do a lot of grunting, maybe some soft, higher pitches, something that's not threatening to another buck or a group of bucks. Is that maybe a good angle to start?
Yeah, they do some vocalizations. People have to understand right now, those bachelor groups, every day that we get closer and closer to fall, the rut, they start reorganizing that pecking order. So they're making sounds to each other. They're getting a little testier with each other. And that's what really starts to break those bachelor groups up is, you know, who's the top dog? Who's going to stay here? Who has to move out? Some bleats. Just trigger the curiosity again. That's really what you're working on, is that curiosity factor of who's in the area. To bring them in closer. So, yeah, it definitely can be an effective source to get them in closer.
Is there a cadence, a sequence that we go with vocalizations? I know the three grunt, a lot of people use that. Spacing them out, maybe?
Yeah, it's, you know, early in the season, like our bucks right now on the farm, every occasionally, like the yearling and two-year-old groups, we'll hear them just with a single grunt. And it's more just, you know, stay out of my way or get out of my way or I'm going over here. So it's not the rut cadence, you know, where the three in a row. You're not going to hurt anything if you do, but you don't want to get into it real hard and strong. It's more of just talking to each other at a normal voice level for a deer.
Speaking with Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, the deer professor here, one of our experts on the Wild Michigan website, wildmichiganradio.com. Doug, let's talk about sense. Let's talk about curiosity and cover. You can do both with Evercalm. It's kind of a multi-purpose scent in a stick that you've developed. Flat out, look, we have some new hunters out here. This isn't the time. Although the store shelves may be full of estrus products or urine products, things like that, not the time to go get them all, you know, go getting doused.
No, right now is just a deer smell is the best smell you can use right now. Deer are, you know, again, they're going to start changing their areas of where they're going to be. They're going to go into new areas. So they're looking to find who's there and who's new and then resetting those pecking orders. So Evercalm is all season long, but it's really, really effective right now because it's real deer smells put into that area. So not only do the does and fawns, they're curious, but also the bucks are curious. So you get the entire family group looking for those new deer, and yet it makes them very calm. So they let their guard down, so it's easier to hunt.
And you know, curiosity, you have the stink sticks out there. I've used them for my trail cam to get the deer in on a trail cam spot, so I know what's there. I've got pictures of a doe nose right up to that bright orange stink stick, and they don't go away. They stay there.
No, and lots of times you'll find they'll start licking it. It's really kind of weird. In fact, this evening, I'm actually going to go out and put a couple 1x3s on an angle in my food plot out back, and I want them there so they get used to it, and then I hang stink sticks. I just put a little screw in the top, and I just hang the stink stick, and I hang one at 20 yards and one at 30 yards. And so I have yardage markers, and it also pinpoints the deer right where I want them to be for a shot. And it's curiosity. The smell is curious. It's calming. The sight of it is curiosity. So it does many, many things all at one time.
Now, when you're handling this, do you have rules that you go by when you're handling the scent sticks?
You know, you should have a clean pair of gloves on, new pair of gloves that don't have any smell. Rubber gloves are the best, but honestly, Duran, I am so limited on time. By the time I really get to think about doing it, I grab it, I cut the 1x3s, I grab the stink sticks, and I just do it with my bare hands. But understand, too, normally every day I'm handling deer stuff, either urine or the deer themselves, so I already kind of smell like deer. So I have a little bit of an advantage there, but I've done it many, many times with just bare hands, and it does not seem to affect them. It's just an amazing product.
What do you mean you don't have time?
this time of year, we're running good 17, 18-hour days. And we're blessed to be that busy. I mean, we really are. The product is, we're busier this year than we've ever been. We're running more deer through the collection facility than we ever have, and so it's a good thing, but it does get tiring.
I want to talk a little bit about Conquest 200. You have a couple hundred deer on your farm there that you raise trophy whitetails. You were talking to me off air about a 175-inch typical six-point.
Yep.
To you, not big. Nate's passing out.
Oh, my gosh. Six-point?
Well, you know, this deer is amazing, and it's a good story. And I had, for, 25 years of raising deer, one of the first big bucks I ever raised, and it was one of the largest in the industry for a number of years, it was a 3-inch spike as a yearling. It was a 10-inch spike as a 2-year-old, and then at 3, it blew out to this 170-something-inch 6x6. Well, this 2-year-old last year was a 3-inch spike. In fact, it was so bad, I almost thought about calling it out for meat, and I just... Again, didn't have time or didn't think about it. And so it literally made it through the year. And this year, it's 176-inch, 6x6, typical, 22 inches inside. It reminded me that you can never tell, as a yearling, what the genetic potential is of that buck. At 2, you can start to tell, but once a spike, always a spike is so untrue. But yeah, we put him in actually as a breeder. 176 inch deer is a decent deer to us. We're looking for those 200 inch 2-year-olds as breeders, but he has the look that I just fall in love with. So we're actually going to breed a few does to him, and he's going to have a wonderful life here for another year or two.
Well, yeah, and then sausage.
Yep. He'll probably end up on some ranch somewhere in Michigan and have the potential to live just a normal, great life out in a big area, or he'll be harvested by a hunter and supply some venison for a family.
Real quickly, Doug, how much of your breeding is about typical versus non-typical?
100% typical. To me, I love the typical look. And also, I think the deer has the right to be honored. The whitetail deer traditionally has always been typical. By stacking genetics, you start getting the non-typical look. And I just don't think it serves the deer justice. Some of them are beautiful, but just me personally, I love that typical look.
All right, appreciate you joining us. Doug Roberts, Conquest Scents. Also, Conquest 200, you can find a link at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Doug, my best to you and Karen and the whole family.
Well, thank you, and best to you October 1st and all the hunters that are going out there, and I wish them all the best of luck.
Absolutely, you the same, and we'll talk about Kansas another time. That's a touchy subject.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Doug Roberts, the deer professor here on Wild Michigan. Nate, really? 175-inch?
Oh, totally normal.
Yeah, normal. Totally normal. Yeah, right. But thanks, Nate, for joining us. Thanks, Strother Archery. Welcome to the family. Thanks also to Lucky Buck. You can check us out on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Whole another hour coming your way.